Belden, Brother and Sister, St. St. Helena, California, March 23, 1906. Dear Brother and Sister, Stephen Belden, we received your short letter. Thank you for writing. We hope that Brother Stephen may recover. We thank you both for the painstaking effort of writing when you were so afflicted, and we appreciate your letters, even though they may contain only a few lines. The Lord is very good to me. I am doing a great deal of writing, and yet I keep well. I have the use of my limbs, and yet I keep well. For this I am very grateful. My food is very simple. When I am writing day after day, week in and week out, it is not best for me to eat heartily. I often think of what a satisfaction it would be to step in and talk with you and unite in prayer with you. I want to tell you both to look on the bright side. Do not keep your minds on yourselves, but take everything to God in prayer. We shall pray for you. Oh, how blessed is the prospect before us of resting in the Lord if we fall in death and rising in the morning of the resurrection, when the trump shall sound to call from their graves those who have made Christ their hope. God says, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face." Matthew 11, verse 10. This means unseen angels who are preparing the way before us. We must be continually looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Just trust in the Lord, whether you live or die. Keep fast hold of your Savior. Christ came to redeem humanity. Let us simply trust Him in sickness and in all other trials. If we live, let us live unto the Lord. If we see that we are approaching death, we must still trust in the Lord. He is preparing mansions for all those who as little children put their trust in Him. Stormy times are before us. The earth is corrupt and will increase in corruption. But you may have perfect trust in Christ. Notwithstanding the violence, the crime, the appropriation by men of money to which they have no right, there is a God who is King over the universe. We are His children, not the subjects of capricious fate. We have, yes, you have, as you read the words of encouragement spoken by Christ, the sacred promise that will renew the springs of hope. You may rejoice in a living Savior. He is our risen Lord. His promises are for all who will receive Him. The divine lessons in the Word of God show us that the whole man is to be treated respectfully. The powers of mind, the strong passions, are not to be crushed as enemies, but are to be brought under the control of Christ, harnessed for His service. Clothed with the whole armor, we are to do battle for truth and righteousness. All our powers are to be consecrated to the purest ends. Christ came to redeem humanity. He is interested in all our actions. He desires to mold and fashion us after the divine similitude. Not until every case is decided will Christ be at rest. I have been permitted to behold His solicitude and the great love wherewith He has loved us. I have not a doubt in regard to the past leadings of His providence in the history of our cause. I should be as guilty as the children of Israel could I not learn lessons from the reproofs that God gave them. Disobedience must and will be punished unless men and women turn from transgression and sin and make their weakest points their strongest through continual watch care. Darkness will become light through obedience. Christ came to redeem humanity from Satan's science. The enemy is close beside those who, though once knowing the freedom of the sons of God, are now linking up with the enemy in an effort to outwit those whom the Lord is using in this time of peril to accomplish the work that He has declared must be done. Christ came to John on the Isle of Patmos to show him symbols and representations and to explain their meaning. He desires us to study this instruction. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." Revelation 3, verse 1. This is Christ's message given to John to make known. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received, and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verses 2-4. Here is a people who are letting go the things they once believed. Through the influence of Satan's insinuations, they are accepting his seducing temptations. They are charged to hold fast that which they received from the Lord, and to show repentance for substituting error for truth. They have lost their first love. Their ideas of Christ and his personality have become changed. The science of Satan is doing its work, and those who once believed are losing their faith and accepting falsehood. Thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead. Verse 1. Christ calls upon them to be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, which are ready to die. Remember your past experience, he says, how you have received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Verse 3. I am charged to make it plain that this message refers to all such as have been changing their faith and receiving the false science coming from the arch-deceiver. I am charged to say that this message is to be given to those in Battle Creek and in every other place who have been influenced by the sentiments that have been brought into Battle Creek to spoil the flock of God. Those who accept these sentiments are preparing for the bewitching influence of skepticism and the science proceeding from satanic agencies. I am to lift my voice in warning, whether men will hear or whether they will forbear. There is to be a work done in Battle Creek that will give all who will opportunity to separate from delusive sentiments. Christ has given the message, full of the blessings of his power. He came to redeem humanity, and he will continue to send message after message to save his flock from satanic delusions. He will not cease to send his messages until the redeemed universe shall be at rest. To those who have held fast their confidence in the leadings of God's providence, in the messages of the past, the Lord gives the message, "Wake up the watchman, cry aloud, and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, let the watchman be awakened, be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die." Some are already standing where they will not receive the message Christ came from heaven to give to John. But there is a work to be done by God's chosen ones. He says, I have a few names even in Sardis that have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verses 4, 5. Read the whole of the third chapter of Revelation. Every word of this chapter is to be studied by those who are watching for souls as they that must give an account. Watchmen, what of the night? In clear, decided tones, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, let the watchman respond. The morning cometh, and also the night. Isaiah 21, verse 11, 12. We are now to guard every outpost. Thus saith the Lord to the watchman. If you permit one soul to pass into the shadow of uncertainty, if you lead souls on in wrong, and they never extricate themselves from the snare of the enemy, I will require at your hands the blood of the souls you have caused to become confused and to perish. Let ministers and doctors in every place rouse themselves and not be stubborn in unbelief.